There were a community that got together. They had a little building in which they would daven. And they got together to build themselves a bigger shul. And afterwards, they decided, we need a Sefer Torah. We can't keep borrowing Sefer Torah. So they started pinching pennies. They were all simple people. Everyone put aside every month a little bit into the public fund. And after 3 years together, they finally had the funds to buy their own Sefer Torah. And every person knew. They knew how hard they worked, how much they saved, how each person cut this corner and that corner in order to put their 2 cents into that Sefer Torah. And when the final day came, and every person came there and wrote their letter in the Sefer Torah, they brought their kids and they said, son, I saved up for 3 years to buy that Sefer Torah. And you can imagine the celebration and the dancing and the happiness on the day they brought that Sefer Torah into their shul. Every person wanted to be the one to hold that Sefer Torah. When they danced with the Sefer Torah, everyone felt, that's my Sefer Torah. I wrote that Sefer Torah. I funded that Sefer Torah. And they're dancing. You never saw a community dance with a Sefer Torah. The happiness, the rejoicing. And when they put the Sefer Torah into the ark, the rabbi gets up to speak, and then the president gets up and says, Rabbi, I want to make a suggestion. We have one Sefer Torah, but there are so many times a year that you need 2 Sefer Torah. Let's start working on the second Sefer Torah. And the community, everyone agrees, great idea. They all start pinching pennies, and this time it's with greater excitement because this time they remember, they have the fond memories of how they did it the first time. So the second time around, people are even more into it, and everyone tries to get in a little bit more, a little bit more. And this time, in just under 2 years, they get the second Sefer Torah in. And this time, you could imagine the joy, the celebration. Everyone invites their relatives, and everyone's waiting to have their opportunity to write their letter in there. And the kids who still remember the first time, they're there all excited. The second time, wow, we did it, a second Sefer Torah. And they bring in the Sefer Torah on a Friday afternoon. As was customary in ancient times, whenever you had a communal celebration, they do it on Friday afternoons, that everyone could bring from their Shabbos food and have a joint meal together, and no one had enough money to make a kiddush. But this was their way. They'd celebrate weddings this way, Friday afternoon. They'd celebrate every celebration that was communal. They do it as on a Friday afternoon so that everyone could bring their portion of food. And the community sits down for their meal, and everyone is in seventh heaven. They're singing, and the Friday night meal goes well past midnight. After the lights are out, no one wants to leave the electricity in the air. They get up to leave. It's 12:30 in the morning. Everyone's so excited. They say, let's say we're going to have one last dance. And they all dance around the Arun HaKodesh. And they're dancing. Tov li Torah spicha malfei zov v'chesef. Your Torah is more precious to me than 1,000 gold and silver coins. And everyone walks home. They're walking on air. And comes Shabbos afternoon. And the dreaded sound of clanging of bells. They hear that their fire broke out while everyone was resting and sleeping Shabbos afternoon. There's a fire at the synagogue. And everyone rushes out. They rush to the hilltop. They did in accordance with halacha. They built the shul on the highest place and down. They all rush out and they come with their buckets and they're ready. And the rabbi's standing there. And the rabbi says, no, you're not allowed to put out a fire on Shabbos. You're allowed to put the vessels with the water next to the fire, and then when the fire will breach the vessel will spill, and then that'll put out the fire. But you can't just go put out that fire on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do it. And they say, Rabbi, but the Torah! And the rabbi says, you're right, but we can't do it. The Torah doesn't permit it. So the people are standing there, and they start rushing, and everyone brings whatever vessels they can, and they start filling it, and everyone's looking for an angle. How could we enter the shul? How are we going to be able to enter that shul? But the flames are so high, no one can enter. And they're standing outside, and as they're covered with soot and sweat and tears, everyone brings their bucket and puts it there, and everyone goes and fetches another bucket. And they're all working, crying as they're working. The toil of 5-6 years is going down the tubes. They can't believe it. And lo and behold, as they're all working there, out comes Yankel the Klutz. Everyone knows Yankel the Klutz. Not too bright. Always gets everything wrong. But he's the hero of the day. There he is, standing, coming out from around the back of the building, hugging two Sifrei Torah. And everyone looks at him and says, Yankel, how'd you do it? They're just slightly scorched, just the coverings. But the Sifrei Torah, you saved. Yankel, how'd you do it? So Yankel says, gee, it wasn't too hard. You know, I took some of the buckets you guys set down in, over here. I went to the back door, poured them over the fires, put out the fires over the back door, went right in, took out the Sifrei Torah, went right out. Gee, here we have the Sifrei Torah. Everyone stands there in silence. The rabbi looks at Yankel and the rabbi says, you know, now the two Sifrei Torah were burnt. Because the Torah is not about the parchment. The Torah is not about the letters. The Torah is not about our feelings, that we desperately would much rather put out that fire and get the Sifrei Torah that we just invested so much time in. The Torah is a way of life. Now the Torah is being burned. Our parsha concludes with Moshe calling in the Jewish people and saying, you have two responsibilities. You have a responsibility. Last two mitzvahs of the Torah, who knows what were they? And Hakel. Last two mitzvot. One mitzvah is gather the people. Even the children come up. Once every 7 years, the king does a review. What does the Torah want of us? And then the Torah says, and every person has to write a Sefer Torah. We each have a mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. What did the Torah want? The Torah wanted the scrolls in our home? Or did the Torah want the idea, the concept, the way we live our lives to be in accordance with the Torah? And what's phenomenal, I don't know another mitzvah that's like this. The halachic applications of the mitzvah to write the Torah evolved in the generations. Evolved to a level that I don't understand. Halachically today, we go with the Rosh's ruling. There was a rabbi who lived originally in the city of Germany, the city of Rutenberg. His Rebbe was the Maharam of the city of Rutenberg. And his Rebbe was abducted by the prince of the city and held for ransom. And his Rebbe kept telling the people, don't pay the ransom. And when his Rebbe died, he knew that the next thing the prince would do was to abduct him, because the community was buzzing with the idea the Rebbe died, his student should take the throne, right? His student should be the next chief rabbi. So what did the Rosh do? He said, no thanks. He left town. He went over to Spain and took over the pulpit of Nachmanides. He took over in Nachmanides' city. And that's why the Rosh lived in both Ashkenaz and Sephard. And the Rosh says, today we can fulfill the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah by acquiring books of Torah, by acquiring books that we learn from. The mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah, says the Rosh, was a Torah that you learn from. The idea was not the scroll. Now that's a phenomenal idea. I don't know of another mitzvah in Torah that we have that level of interpretation and application, that we can say the Torah says write a Torah, and we say no. The Torah meant learn a Torah. And if today we don't learn from Torah scrolls anymore, so then the halachic applications of that commandment are to buy a Talmud, to buy a Tanakh, to buy a Mishnah, to buy a Mishnah Brura. We buy the Torah works. But that goes back to our story. The essence of the Torah is not the scroll. There's the famous story, one of the 10 martyrs we're going to read about in, I think it's Rabbi Hanina ben Tradion, that he was burnt with a Torah scroll wrapped around him. I'll look it up, I'll tell you exactly the story. I'm not finding it right now. I don't remember thought it was an avod zara. I'm not finding it now. Let's see. Otiot porchot ba'avir, I thought, but I'm not finding it now. In the Talmud, yeah. I don't see. Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, yeah. But I don't see it. Just a second. Here we go. So it is an Avod Zar. Daf Yud Ches. Yeah. Okay. So, what? Yud Ches Amram. So over there is the story of Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion. So, yeah, and it was Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, right? Malach Chanina Achit, Ra. Yeah. Matzur Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion, Sheftam Nachot. Right. The Romans came and found Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion teaching Torah to the masses and a Sefer Torah sitting by him. They brought him, they wrapped him in the Sefer Torah. They put bundles of wool all around him, and they lit it on fire. And they put trees all around him, and they brought wool that was soaked in water, so that put it on his heart, so that he would die a slow and painful death. What? Right. So his daughter came and said, "Father, am I going to see you like this?" And he said, "If I was burnt alone, then I'd be really worried. But now that I'm being burnt with the Sefer Torah, whoever demands payback for the shame of the Torah will demand my payback too." His students said, "Rebbe, what do you see?" They see him looking. So he said, "What I see is that the parchment's being burnt, but the letters are floating in the air." But the letters are floating in the air. By the way, going back to our discussion earlier, before we go on with this Gemara, the students asked him, "Rebbe, why don't you open your mouth, let the fire enter, and you'll die more quickly?" And he said, "I'd rather that the one who gave me life take my life." And from here we learn some of the halachot about when can a person take their own life. He was such a giant, as he's being burnt to death, he's teaching us halachot that are still applicable today about the question of when can you pull the plug, when can a person... when is a person forced to take medicine, and when can a person say, "I'm not interested"? When can a person take something to hasten his own death, and when is a person prohibited? Part of the halachot are learned from this story, where Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion refused to open his mouth to hasten his own death. Again, there are multiple sources. This is one source. There's the Talmud in Yuma and other places. But this is one of the sources. So this idea that the parchment's being burnt, but the letters are floating in the air. That's the idea we've been discussing. That the Romans were able to burn the body. The Romans were able to burn the parchment. But the message of the Torah, and what we learn from the Rosh, is that that is the mitzvah of writing a Sefer Torah. Down to the halachic applications. The mitzvah is, you transmit the continuation of the Torah to the next generation, so that even if they burn the parchment, that's not the key here. They cannot burn the tradition. Oh, they can definitely hinder it, and we have to compromise to make do, like we discussed, like Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi did, but the letters will keep floating. As much as they're burning, the letters are not burnt. The message keeps going, and that's the phenomenal idea Rabbi Chanina ben Tradion taught us, with the letters floating in the air. So those are the last two mitzvot. The Torah says, Sima b'fihim, place the Torah in the mouths of the children. Our tradition is that the Torah should be transmitted with signs, meaning simna b'fihem, our sages said. Give over the Torah with acronyms, with all kinds of signs that will help people remember it. And that's why we have the tunes for reading the Torah. That's to help us remember the Torah. It's very hard to remember Torah if you just read it. But if you have the tunes, so then that makes it much easier. Simna b'fihim. Did we discuss the story of the schnapps? We discussed the story of the schnapps, right? The poor community, the wealthy community. Simchas Torah.
About the vodka?
Yeah.
The vodka. And you said the story of the Torah.